Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Reading from verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And then if we return to Revelation chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book opened. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware to him that liveth forever and ever, who created heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be no more time, or time should be no longer. And as Brother Brown said, the time should be no longer delayed. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we read from your word this morning that the whole purpose of the seventh angel messenger standing there with the book opened is not that there would be no more mysteries. There are certainly many things that are still mysterious to us, but that's not what your book says. That's not what you declared. But you said that the mystery of God should be finished. Hallelujah. And so we find your prophet standing there, declaring to us that the greatest of all revelations is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. He said you can't get to first base without knowing that. And so, Lord, we just humbly thank you for this great, wonderful scenario. The angel of the covenant, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, coming down. Not the man Jesus, but the Father of the Son. Coming down and handing an open book to that seventh angel messenger. And when a book is declared, when a book is opened and declared by that prophet, your word here tells us that the mystery of God is finished. It's no longer a mystery. Hallelujah. And Father, the word we get back from all around the world, these brothers saying, it is so simple. The words, they say, that you've placed together in this little book, the quotes and the way that they're placed together has made it so simple to our understanding, that it's so easy to see. And I thank you, Father, for being part of that. Part of a final ingathering of your saints, gathering them to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be with us in service today and help us, Lord, to further understand what this entire message is all about. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to know, if you will go back with me and read in verse 7, but in the days, plural, of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery, singular, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. The mystery of God, not the mysteries of God, but the mystery. The mystery about God, who he is, how he reveals himself. Now, last Sunday, we began our examination of Brother Branham's message, who is this Melchizedek? And we focused our thoughts on his opening statement that he made in his opening prayer. And he said, "Dear Heavenly Father, we hear this song of Only Believe, and it makes us to know that that's all that we have to do in order to inherit any of God's promises is just believe them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. As we cry as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." And now what we hear him say in this little passage is that is if God said it and we believe it, then it's ours. As we read in Deuteronomy 29:29, the things which are revealed, or the things which are hidden, belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed, those things belong unto you and to your children forever. And so Brother Brown is making it clear to us that all we have to do is believe. And notice how he clarified this in quoting the man who had the epileptic child. He wanted so badly to believe for his child, or for his healing of his child, that he said, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Even when we seem to have our doubts, it is not your doubts that you must look to, but we must focus upon what God has said and ask God to help us through our doubts. Remember in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 48, we read, "As many as were ordained to eternal life did one thing," and what is that? Believed. In Matthew 9:29, Jesus said, "According to your faith," what? "Be it unto you." And what is faith? Brother Brown said, faith is a revelation. It's something that's been revealed to you. Let me read some other things that Brother Brown said about faith. From the Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, "What is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God." From the Invisible Union of the Bride, he said, "What is a revelation?" Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it." Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. From Works is Faith Expressed, Brother Brown said, "Now, faith is a revelation from God." Now, faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by his grace. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You never had faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church of God is built upon that revelation. In an audience of people, where a prayer line comes through, you'll find some, and they were all good people, we'll say, but there's some that's trying hard to believe it. Trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It was given to them. It's just given to them. Now, there is the difference, see? That does it. That's the real revelation, because faith is a revelation from God, and it must be revealed first. Now, looking at Brother Bram's opening statement of prayer, in whom is this Melchizedek? He said, "It makes us to know." It makes us to know. But that's all that we have to do to inherit any of God's promises is just believe them. Now, you can't just believe them until it has been revealed to you. Or you're just trying to work yourself into some delusion. How can you truly believe unless it's been revealed to you? How can you believe if you do not know what you're believing for? Notice he said, "But it makes us to know." So it makes you to know first that all we have to do to inherit is simply believe. But notice it makes you to know before you can believe. You see? And what makes you to know? Brother Babb said, "It's got to be revealed first." Let me read that again from Works of Faith Expressed. Now, there is a difference, see? Notice he says, and they were all good people. He said, let's say that we have an audience where a prayer line comes through. And we find that some, and they're all, let's say they're all good people, we'll say. There's some that's trying hard to believe. Now, I know some of you sitting here today, could be very much trying hard to believe. But if God hasn't revealed it by His grace to you, you can try all you want to figure it out. You can try to believe, and you'll still be working. It'll still be an effort. It'll be works. You see, we can't approach God by our works. We can't approach God by our effort. Either God has approached you, or you'll never come in His presence. All that the Father hath given will come. And no man can come except what? The Father draws him. So you see, He says, there's some that's trying hard to believe it. They're trying to work themselves into it. Now, I'd like to just maybe illustrate, but I don't know how to do it. But maybe I can say this. Brother Ben's talking about healing. How many of you have ever been sick to the place where you wanted so bad to believe for your healing? Let me see your hands. Now let's be honest this morning. How many of you have worked yourself into a tizzy trying to get healed or trying to receive something from God that wasn't revealed to you? You know how nervous it makes you. You know how upset you get. Well, I think the only thing that we're taught here, what Brother Bam is saying, is let go and let God. Pray for revelation. If you have need for healing in your body, pray for revelation. That it's a done deal. It's already done. It's already finished. If you have need of anything, pray that God would reveal it to you first, because unless it's been revealed to you, you can believe all you want. And what Brother Van says is people, they work themselves into it. They work up a sweat. They work up, you know, they... So there's some trying so hard to believe for the healing. Trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It's just given to them. And that's what we're talking about. You can't just believe until it's been revealed to you. Excuse me. You can't simply say, I believe it. And simply based on your believing, you're receiving. It's got to be revealed, then you believe it. Then you receive it. Now, you can't just believe them until it has been revealed to you, or you're just trying to work yourself into some kind of delusion. How can you truly believe unless it's revealed to you? How can you believe if you do not know what you're believing for? In the message, I Will Restore, Brother Van was talking about the faith of Abel. And he said he believed God because God had revealed it to him. Now the word revealed means to pull back the veil in order to make known. In other words, it speaks of something that has not been known becoming known. So there has to be an action take place, and the action is not your action. The action is upon the part of God. That God does something that opens it up to you. He does something to reveal it to you. If you turn with me to John chapter 12. And reading from verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. Now what's the heart? The understanding. That they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Excuse me. Just bear with me if you would. The devil don't want this out, but I tell you, I had something else prepared during the week for this weekend, for this service, and the Lord gave me direction to go further into this, what we were into last Sunday. So, we were going to actually, we may end up getting there today, but I've got 12 pages and I doubt we'll get there. But, from the impersonation of Christianity, Brother Bass says, so God had to give you a new heart, not a patched up one, a new heart, and that's your intellects that you think with, a new way of thinking. Then when he gives you a new way of thinking, yes, that's right, the Bible looks to be reasonable. I used to didn't believe that, but I believe it now. There's your great revival, see? Then he said after that, then I'll give you a new spirit. And what's that? It's a new desire. I want to do right. Now the problem is that most people, because they do not elect, or because they are not elect, about 99% of all people, more than that actually, 99% or 99.9% or whatever, you know, it's one out of a million. Because they're not elect, they will never receive a new heart. That means they'll never receive a new understanding. And therefore, they will never receive this new spirit, which is a new desire. Or they might get a new desire for something, but unless they receive the new heart first, which is a new understanding, they will not receive the correct new spirit, which is the new desire. And let's face it, if your understanding is wrong, you will have a wrong desire. Or let me say it this way. If you understand wrong, your desire will reflect what you understand. And if you understand wrong, then how will your desire be correct? How can you have a right desire for a right fulfillment of a right word if your understanding of that word is wrong? Because that's why they missed Jesus the first time. They saw the word, the same word you and I saw, but they interpreted that word wrong. And so when they focused upon, let's say, he's coming in that door right there. He's going to come in 30 seconds in that door right there. But now, if you've been taught that he's coming in this door right here, then when he comes in this door right here, and he's coming now in this door right here, or let's say it this way, he's coming in, who knows, maybe in this generation, sometime in this door right here. But the word says he's coming in that door, and he's walking through right now. You're going to be focused on this door because your interpretation says this is the door he's coming in. So you're going to be focused on this door. All your activities focused in this door. They were focused on the Eastern Gate. And they missed him when he was born in Bethlehem. Then when he finally came through the Eastern Gate, or to the Eastern Gate, they wouldn't receive him. Because he didn't come their way. Now Proverbs 14 and 12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Isaiah 55 and 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, from the message, God Hiding in Simplicity, Brother Branham said, let me read it again now closely. He's quoting from the scripture. He says, who has believed our report? Question. And to who is the arm, whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, if you have believed our report, then the arm of the Lord has been revealed. See? Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore, until we understand it, until it has been revealed, we cannot really believe it. For to believe with the wrong understanding of what you are believing is as though you believe not at all. Now let me say that in a different word. If you are believing, and your believing is wrong, then it's as though you're not believing at all. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. We'll use the same thoughts that Paul used. Beginning of verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's a statement. That's a fact. But here's the key. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in verse 9 and 10 he said, you've got to believe first in your heart that God raised up Jesus from the dead. And then you've got to confess it. And now he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, this believing and confessing is your calling upon the Lord. From the message at that word, Brother Bass said, only by your confession can you be saved. That's the most powerful weapon that God put in the hands of man, is a committal and a confession. It'll do it every time. If you believe it, accept it in those bases, and believe it and stay with it, keep confessing it when you confess it. But what if you're not sure of what you believe? Notice verse 9, let's go back to that. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto right wiseness, unto a correct understanding, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what if you're not sure what you believe? What's doctrine? Brother Matt said, a church without doctrine is like a jellyfish. He's like a man without a backbone. He's like a jellyfish. He said, and another thing he says, is doctrine gives you teeth. Gives you teeth so you can eat. Now, from contending for the faith, Brother Brown said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand it. It's a mythical thing until you're born again. There, the very life of God comes into you. Everlasting, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life comes in you, and then you're a part of God. You're a son or daughter of God, and then you see as God sees, and you believe as God believes. Now let's look at verse 14, the next verse. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Even though they say they hear, they boast in vain. unless they hear true preachers. For to hear false preachers means as much as not to hear. They hear and they do not hear. They have ears but they do not hear, nor do they preach the word of God. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now remember Jesus' words of warning that he spoke in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. He said, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Now let's follow this up over in Mark chapter 4. And reading from verse 22, for there is nothing hid that shall not be made manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be more given, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he has. So then the entire source and origin of salvation rests on this, that God sends out someone, and if God sends him, he's going to be a true minister of the word. Because if God doesn't send out any, then they who preach, preach falsely. And their preaching is no hearing at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Thus, it is that you go into these countries, South America, Philippines, Africa, the people have been kept in ignorance of the message because false ministries have brought a false understanding which darkened the understanding of the people, their minds, closed off the reality of the presence of God to them. Now, maybe we can diagram this for you, because I know pictures say it all.
We have true, false. We'll speak of twins. Remember, both religious. Now, here we have a true fivefold. Here we have a false. FF. F-old. Or F-5-old. Okay. Now, but we have a true message. That message comes forth. What is there about a true fivefold minister? What is he going to do? He's true, he will understand. These, remember, do not understand. He that hath, to him shall be given. What's the word hath? He's going to echo. These cannot echo. So, these echoing, when the Lord says, thou shalt, these say, thou, because they cannot echo, shalt not. That is not an echo of the message, thou shalt, is it? Because these are made in such a way, the true fivefold, they will reflect, they will say what the prophet said, they will reflect in the perfect reflection of what he said, but these will not. They can't. You know why? Because these will take it into their filter and out comes what they think. These will take it into their filter, but because they have an understanding, they can then break it down and it'll come out exactly the same as what he said. Even if they use other words to say it. Now, I don't know if this is getting across yet. Let's do this. Let's do a little experiment. Lisa, if you would come up here. Sarah, if you would come up here. Now.
Okay, I want you to hold this in front of your face, just like that, okay? Now, Lisa, stand right here. Now, Peter, if you would come here. Now, Lisa, would you tell me what, describe what Peter's wearing?
Okay. Okay, if you would describe what Peter's wearing from the top of his head down to the
bottom of his feet.
Oh, wait, before you do, Sarah, would you describe to me what Peter's wearing today?
Can't see it.
Huh?
Can't see it.
Oh, just go ahead and describe.
Yes.
Is he wearing a shirt?
I guess so.
Okay. Is he wearing a tie?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, what color shoes is he wearing?
Any color.
Okay. How about the... Is he fully dressed?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. Now, go ahead. Describe what he's wearing.
The top, the tie, pants and shoes.
Okay. And what color is the shirt?
White and gray.
Okay, or white, is that gray or green? Okay, so yeah. That's greenish gray. Well, how about the tie? What color is the tie?
Red and brown.
Okay, and then how about the pants?
Green.
Okay, and how about the shoes?
Brown.
Okay, what kind of glasses he got? Does he have glasses on? Okay,
yeah.
Describe them.
They're round.
Okay. They're round. They got a little bit of color on the side. Okay. Thank you, everybody. And I guess I can have my jacket back. Now, notice how Elizabeth, because she couldn't see, she couldn't describe. So if she attempted to describe, it would have to be coming from her own imagination. You understand? Therefore,
be careful how you hear,
because with what measure you meet, it's going to be measured back to you. And what has happened? Brother Bannon made the statement. He said,
denominational thinking says that if you don't see, it's because you're not looking through my eyeglasses.
Therefore, what you have is there's a filter that everybody wears, and it's called denomination. And if you're looking through a denominational filter, except for those that are elect, and the reason why the elect don't have a denominational filter is because they have an understanding, and they could never receive the period that is put after what the denomination believes. They know there's more to it than what they're told. Now, if my life depended upon
the girl's description of Peter this morning. How could I put my life dependency upon a description which didn't know? A guess. And how can the people feed from a table that they're not sure what food is there? That's why vindication is so important. You see? That's why if God did not send out any preacher, then they who preach are preaching falsely. And their preaching is not preaching at all. In fact, they'd be better off if they didn't preach. In other words, let me just say this.
Okay, we have a fivefold that are false. They're preaching. What are they preaching? What are they preaching? Okay, these are preaching. These are preaching. What are they preaching?
What they preach is dependent upon what they know and understand. Now, also, then they who hear error. So,
if these can truly give the same as what they hear, and they can give it out, then their message will be a reflector of the original. But this message will be distortion. With a lot of curves in it.
Now,
if this reflection is to be like a mirror, and it's to reflect an image, we'll say that that image, or the image of the pillar of fire over Brother Branham, is in that image, that reflection. But this can't reflect.
Now, if God doesn't send out any,
right here,
true, fivefold, then they who preach, preach falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Then also they who would hear error, and it would be better for them not to hear. Then also they who believe would believe false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to believe. Then also they who call upon him would call falsely upon a false Lord. And it would be better for them not to call. How many remember the show years and years ago in the 50s and 60s? Those are old enough. About truth or consequences. They would have three men or three women in a booth. Only the audience could see those three people. Then each one would be asked questions, all claiming to be the original. One would be the true, whether he was maybe he had been a private investigator, or you know, had some type of an occupation, or maybe had made some type of a discovery. Then there was a panel of viewers who were blindfolded. Remember this? And they would, the panel would ask questions. And based on words, they would make a decision as to which was original and which was a fake. And over the years, the panel got very good at it because they exercised their discernment, their understanding, their ability to... And they would get usually a panel of pretty good fakers. Guys who have been briefed on the subject, could throw a yarn that sounded pretty good. And the fact is, how do we know God at all? When you can't see, you can't feel, you can't taste, you can't touch. How do we know? By vindication. We have a vindicated prophet. God on the scene, doing the incredulous, doing the, not the incredulous, but the superhuman, supernatural, backing up by his power. So they who would then hear would hear it straight and know that they heard it straight. But what has happened
is those people who say we don't need a fivefold ministry,
they say we can go get it directly from the prophet. And I'm going to tell you something. Those days are gone. Because everything that you hear, everything you know, is based upon something somebody's taught you. And what has happened is, Brother Branham brought a message. He said, I am not a oneness. And they who listened only to the tapes, and of course many others, they will tell you Brother Branham was a oneness. And when Brother Branham said the greatest of all revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of Jesus Christ, they will deny that Brother Branham's oneness. They will deny that the Father is not the Son, that He was not His own Father, so it had to be two beings. They will deny flatly the statements of Brother Branham says now there's two of them. They will deny, deny, deny. Why? I thought they were just listening to the tapes. If they were just listening to the tapes, brother, sister, they'd be getting it right. But they're not. They've got their own filter of their own mind, and therefore, they can't understand. Now, so, they then that hear, they hear error. And they also then who believe would believe false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to believe. Then also they who call upon him would call falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to call. For such preachers do not preach, such hearers do not hear, such believers do not believe, such callers do not call, and they will be damned because they would be saved by falsehood. Verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the true, revealed, vindicated word of God. And what is faith? Revelation. See? Now, can you see the importance this morning of receiving a vindicated ministry? Because if it is not vindicated, then how do you know what you're hearing is not error? And if it is error, then how would you, then well, you'd be believing error. And if you're believing error, then you'd be calling out to a wrong God. And if you call out to a wrong God, then how would you be saved? Therefore, God has come down to vouchsafe His own presence among us. And we know that we are the elect of God because He said so. It is not just something we've read in a book, but God Himself has come down and has spoken through the lips of His prophet, whom He has vindicated, and that is what we're standing on this morning. Now, can you imagine the mess that the message would be in if all of God's twofold, fivefold ministry were called off the scene? It's going to happen one of these days. I've read you the quote before. Brother Bass said he'll take all the true off the field, and then you'll want a revival. See? Therefore, it must be revealed before it can be believed. And when God says it, when God says that we are to receive it in the way that He said it, now if we put our own interpretation of what God says, then it's not revealed to us. But if we believe in the way that He said it, it is because it has been revealed to us. Therefore, when you see it and understand it, then you have the right interpretation, and only then. And if you have the right interpretation, you have the right source, you have the right fountain, you have the right life, the Spirit. People today do not believe what Brother Branham said. And the reason they do not believe it is because it has not been revealed to them. That is why he said, say what the tapes say, say what the Bible says. But they can look at the scripture that plainly speaks of one God who had a son, and somehow they come up with three persons or one person who is his own father. Then what about the rapture itself? Brother Brown taught us that the rapture will be a revelation, something that has been revealed. And what does this mean? What did he mean by that? Is he saying that the rapture will only be a revelation and nothing more? No. That is not what he's saying at all. He's telling us that to be part of the rapture, it must be revealed to you, because he tells us also that the rapture is the shout, which is the message. Not from the rapture, Brother Rapp said, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. And you cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't. Now, faith. That's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon the revelation, the whole entire body. So what is that revelation? You see, we as people, and even in 1982 when Brother Bell started bringing that out, Brother Bell said the rapture is a revelation. Thousands ran around saying the rapture is a revelation. Oh, it is. The rapture is a revelation. You know, like the rapture is a psychology. The rapture is not a physical event. It's a revelation. And that's so far from the truth. The word revelation means to be revealed. In other words, the event is unfolding. It's opened up to you. You see it. It's revealed. The rapture is a revelation. The rapture is an event that is unfolded before your eyes that you might know what is taking place. That is what the revelation means. That is what the word revealing means. See? Therefore, we're speaking of believing what has been revealed. It doesn't do anyone any good to believe what has not been revealed. Because if it has not been revealed, it does not yet belong to us. From when their eyes were opened, Brother Bam said, listen, brother, sister, the promised word to be promised to you, and you can see it's the hour for that, but when God reveals it, interprets it, then it's sinful to turn it away. Don't you never do that. God opened his eyes by showing him the manifested word that he had promised that it would take place. Now, always does that the same way. He does it. He never changes his system of doing it. No, sir, never. Always the same. He promises Scripture for each and every age. And when he manifests a Scripture promise for that age, the people who got their eyes open to see it are the ones who receive it. Therefore, when we recognize that the Lord himself has descended with a shout, we can recognize that the rapture is a revelation of that shout. And as Brother Brown said, it's a revelation of God. And those who cannot receive the revelation of God, the greatest of all revelations is the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham said that was the supreme deity, that picture. Now that is not Jesus the man. That picture and that picture, that picture, that's of Jesus the man. That is of the Father having come down in the image of the Son of Man. The supreme deity, the judge. And it's revealed to us. He said that the people, when he manifests that scripture promise for that age, the people who got their eyes open to see it are the ones who receive it. And what is faith? It's a revelation, something that's been revealed to you. And did you know that if it has been revealed to you, then it belongs to you? Certainly. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of the word of the law. Therefore, the things that are revealed belong to us, and that is excuse me, that they are meant to produce something in us. He said that we may do all the words of this law. And now the word do, used here, does not necessitate works, but it speaks rather of observing or to attend to in order to acquire and thus to step forward and to act upon as Bhagavan preached the message, hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God. And if we truly do hear, then we will truly recognize, and if we truly recognize, then we will truly act upon what we hear and recognize, and the acting upon shows that we truly recognize the Word for this hour, for what it truly is. And that makes the Word manifest to us in a reality, not just some sort of intellectual conception or debate, but a reality. Then, the rapture is a reality, because it's revealed. Now, this morning I'd like to move a little further into the study of the sermon, and to do so, we'll take the next thought in Brother Bam's opening prayer. He said, "Let us bow our heads in prayer, and dear Heavenly Father, we hear this song of Only Believe, and it makes us to know that that's all that we have to do to inherit any of God's promises, is just believe them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. As we cry as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We thank thee for thy great power, thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last days. It makes our heart most happy and joyful to know that we have come in contact with the living God, who vindicated right back in physical and material evidence as he did in the days gone by, and as he had promised for this day. We're so grateful to be to thee, our God, this dark day where no one seems to know which way to go. We're so glad that we found the safety zone, the retreat. Now bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that gives to us. May we nurture them in our heart, may we cherish them with reverence, and may we obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name." Now, he says, "We thank thee for thy great power and thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last days." Then he speaks of the very presence of God in our midst, and he says, "It makes our hearts most happy and joyful to know that we've come in contact with the living God." This speaks of God's presence. For he must be present to contact with us. To know, he says, that we have come in contact with the living God, who vindicates it right back in physical, material evidences, as he did in the days gone by, and as he has promised for this day. Now again, we hear Brother Bass speak of the presence in direct correlation or association with vindication. He speaks of God's contact with us by his presence, and then that presence being a vindication that swings it right back into the physical and material evidence. Then he gives us a little alpha and omega principle where he says, as he did in the days gone by, and as he has promised for this day. Now notice how Brother Bannon weaves into this opening prayer the Godhead, the presence, vindication, and alpha and omega. And then there's just one thing left, and that's twins. And yet his next statement speaks of a people who know in contrast to those who have no clue. He says, "We're so grateful to thee, our God, this dark day when no one seems to know which way to go. We're so glad that we found the safety zone, the retreat. Now bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's given to us. May we nurture them in our heart, cherish them in with reverence, and obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name." Now, I was going to get into the the next thoughts here, which are the 5 points Brother Brown brings out. And these are 5 points of gratitude that we should have concerning the promises of God for us in this hour. He said, "We're so grateful to thee, our God. We're so glad that we found the safety zone, the retreat, and we ask that you bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's given to us. The promises that's given to us, may we nurture them, cherish them with reverence, and obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name." And I don't think we have time. How much time do we have on the tape there? Okay. I don't think we have enough time to get into that, but if you notice Brother Branham's, and if you have the book, The Rapture, you might want to bring it with you so you can underline some of these things. And because we're going to be on it for quite some time. Not the rapture, excuse me. Who is this Melchizedek? If you have the book, Who is this Melchizedek? Bring it with you for these services. Because we're going to get into these, and we're going to break down these thoughts of, he says, nurture them in your heart. cherish them with reverence and obey them. Notice, nurture, cherish, reverence, and obey. These are relationship attributes that he's talking about. And actually today for Father's Day, I was going to get into this subject, what these things mean, but we didn't have time to get into it because I really felt pressed to lay this out. Now, and what I want to do one more time is take this thought of Brother Branham's and show you how in his opening statement, the very first words he uses, he's actually bringing out the five major doctrines. He says, let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we hear this song of only believe, and it makes us to know that that's all we have to do to inherit any of God's promises, just believe them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. And as we cry, as a man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, help on my unbelief, we thank thee for thy great power, thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last day. Now, Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare him that he's here. So Brother Branham, in speaking of the great revelation to us in these last days, is speaking of Godhead. Notice, we thank thee for thy great power and thy great revelation of thyself to us. Well, what's his great revelation of himself? It's the Godhead. It makes our hearts most happy and joyful to know that we have come in contact with the living God who vindicates it right back in physical and material evidence. Well, that's presence and vindication. Notice he says, who vindicates it right back in physical material evidence as he did in the days gone by and as he has promised for this day. That's Alpha and Omega. We're so grateful to thee, God, that in this dark day where no one seems to know which way to go, we're so glad that we found the safety zone. Two kinds of peoples. The retreat. Now bless us, Lord, tonight as we speak of thy word and the promises that's given to us, that we may nurture them in our heart, cherish them with reverence, and obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Who is this Melchizedek is one of the most tremendous messages Brother Branham ever preached. And he begins it by laying out the five major doctrines in that opening prayer. Letting us know Godhead, presence, vindication, Alpha and Omega, and twins. The man was not just some uneducated hillbilly. But I'm going to say this. I don't believe that what Brother Branham said here was purposefully laid out by a man either. I believe God laid out that prayer. And God laid out those words for us to hear. Because no one, believe me, no one could have understood those things and brought those things out in the way that they're brought out and weaved together and hit all five of the major doctrine in one simple opening prayer like that man did. I believe God was revealing to us, because this message of who is this Melchizedek is so strategic, and yet, and not just strategic, it's probably a bad word. It is so important for us in understanding the difference between the Father and the Son. And with that difference, you can truly worship the Father. You can truly worship the Son by worshiping God through the Son. It brings proper placement. It brings proper relationship. And, you know, Jesus said to the to the woman, he said, you Gentiles, you worship God, you know, you worship who you know not. Paul said the same thing in Athens. He said, you worship a God you know not. But we know what we worship. We know what we worship. And yet, how many people today are worshiping a God who's his own father? Or a son of God who's his own father? Or three persons, and yet just one God. Well, how can that be? And yet, if we see what Brother Branham said, that the three frogs that were looking backwards, always looking backwards, he said, those are three unclean spirits, he said, that's Trinity. So the Trinity is an unclean spirit. Why? Because it's false. It's idolatry. It's witchcraft. When those witch doctors in Germany called for that storm, Brother Branham said they were crying out, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, ooh, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, ah, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, ooh, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, ah, and the storm came up. And Brother Branham stepped forward to rebuke that storm in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trinitarian witch doctors. Yeah. Evil. Evil. And yet it's hard for us in our minds to think, well, how could just somebody's having a wrong understanding be evil? The Bible tells us that Cain was of that wicked one. And wherefore slew he his brother? For what reason did he slay Abel? Because his deeds were evil. What was his deeds? He offered to God an excellent sacrifice, scriptural sacrifice. But it was out of season. Therefore, it was evil in the eyes of God. One word off is Satan's kingdom. I hope this morning, by God's grace, that we've shown you that you cannot believe to any effectuality, to any effect, if you don't have a revelation. Because your believing will be in vain, because you will believe what you know not. And you can say, I'm a believer, I'm a believer, I'm a believer. You can say it all you want, but it doesn't mean nothing to God. Has God revealed himself to you? Pray, if you're going to pray for anything, pray for revelation. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, we come before you in the precious name of your only begotten, your uniquely begotten Son. And we ask, Father, that you would give us the revelation that you gave to him. For Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God. The revelation that he had, that's the